And a good day to you. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. It is and has been your show for over 7 years. We bring topics to the table most of the time, except on our unscripted shows and our prayer shows. And you you call in and share your lived experiences, your wisdom, your insights, your inspiration. And we all learn a little bit and come away a little bit closer to God. I think I said that right, Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher with Debbie Georgiani. How do you say that again?
Yeah. Walk away a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. You like all my phrases, don't you? See, I get them stuck in my head. That's why I just keep repeating them. But actually, I keep repeating them, Jerry, because we have new listeners each and every time we do Take Two. So thank you to welcome to all the new Take Two family members. You don't have to be Catholic. If you're listening to Take Two, we consider you part of the family. So feel free to call in as we introduce this wonderful topic today, and we definitely are going to learn and grow. Which of the four Gospels, the good news of Jesus Christ, do you best relate to? Can you best relate to? We want to know, pick the Gospel. Why? Tell us why. Maybe there's a couple Gospels that you like to go to. You bounce back and forth like the rest of us, and share which ones you can relate to, you best relate to. Here is the number. Matt Kabinsky's waiting for your call. It is Friday. We're still in the middle of summer. We're going to ask you not to get started with your weekend yet. Please call in 833-288-3986.
Yeah, as you obviously know, there are the four canonical Gospels. There were others written that did not make the grade or make the cut, so to speak, when the church, the Catholic Church, determined which books were to belong in the New Testament. So they are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they are all similar in many ways and distinct in many ways. Matthew, mm-hmm. I think, comes from the Jewish perspective. Mm-hmm. His genealogy is a little bit different. Matthew has the Beatitudes in there. Mark's gospel is the shortest one, so maybe you like that because it's just shorter and you can make your way through it more quickly. Luke was a physician by tradition, and his, of course, is very Marian. It's got the mm-hmm. account of the Annunciation and so forth. And I'll just say right now, Debbie, I'll get it out there. My favorite is John.
John, me too. Yes, I feel the same thing. But I do go to Matthew a lot. I love the Jewish genealogy. I love the whole history. I love that part. So I do bounce back over to Matthew, although I do jump over to Luke because of the Marian connection. So yes, absolutely. But John for me, and we had a lot of Take Two family members like Michael and Marianne and others weighing in about John as well. Bread of Life discourse. I mean, you can't beat that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying, it's amazing.
I like Luke as well because he's got the prodigal son story mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. And I think we all can see ourselves in one or more characters in that story. So, hey, Take Two family, on this Friday broadcast, Debbie and I can sit here the whole 55 minutes and tell you what we like about this or that gospel, but we want to hear from you. Have mm-hmm. you done a Bible study before on any of the four gospels, maybe all of them? Maybe you are a scripture teacher, or maybe you have mm-hmm. gone to school and gotten a degree in some sort of theology that was heavy emphasis on scripture, mm-hmm. or maybe you're just somebody who, you know, when you hear the readings at Mass, you say, oh, you know, I just love Matthew, the way he puts mm-hmm. things. Or Mark mm-hmm. or Luke or John. So here's the number. Got to fill these phone lines, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
When I was going for my graduate degree in theology, the professors would often say that if you're going to start reading the Bible, and you start obviously if you want to start in the New Testament, to start with Mark. Because of what you just said, Jerry, Mark being the shortest, and it kind of is, it's a very easy read and to be introduced. And then I would definitely branch out to the other synoptic gospels. And then, of course, to tackle John, which has much more of, if I may say this, this is how I interpret John. It's much more mystical. Would you say that?
Very much so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we see the letters of John and also the book of Revelation, which is very, very mystical. So I think that's a yeah. good way to describe the author and his gospel, the gospel of John, definitely.
Right. But Mark is, would you consider, would you say Mark is a very easy read? I think that's a great mm-hmm. read for people to start if you're going to dive into the New Testament. So tell us which of the four Gospels can you best relate to? We want to know. Please fill up the phone lines. We normally always, we have very active phones, and that's great, and we want that going into the weekend. And we prepare these topics, especially on a Friday, so that you can start thinking deeply as you enter the weekend and go to Mass, okay? So it kind of enhances your Mass experience even more. So there's a method to this madness, folks. You gotta go with us on this. Trust us on this, because it can really help others learn and grow in their faith and have a different disposition, a different attitude as they go to Mass, right? We don't want robotic Catholics. We want very intentional Catholics, very authentic Catholics that are really embracing their faith fully. And in order to do that, obviously, getting into the living Word of God. Here is the number. Three open phone lines. Let's go. 833-288-3986. I mean, wouldn't you say that's our method? We really want mm-hmm. to give folks a lot of material to go into the weekend.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's something like this. Other times, maybe it's a little bit of a lighter topic on a Friday because we've all had a busy week. So we are looking forward to your great contributions to this conversation. Which of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, kind of you see yourself in, or you appreciate more? I mean, it's hard to pick one out of the four because they're all, you know, Holy Spirit inspired and the written Word of God. And but we would love to see if you have maybe a favorite. Perhaps you have done some kind of a Bible study. They have the booklets, The Word Among Us, and many other online, now a lot of online Bible studies. So when you call in, tell us about your disciplines, your routines, about maybe doing a kind of an ongoing Bible study in your own life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Father Mike Schmitz, you know, The Bible in a Year has become very, very popular, especially Take Two family members. You let us know that all the time, and that's true. And that's kind of, you know, really got you excited, okay, about really diving deep into Scripture. That's important, folks. It's the living Word of God. Jerry and I have a wonderful priest that we like, Father Bobby Imperel. He's a healing priest, and he talks about the power of the living Word of God, the healing powers of the living Word of God. So let's talk about the four Gospels today, and which of the four, maybe all of them, you can best relate to. We want to hear from you at 833-288-3986. Please join us.
It's a Friday, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. And as Debbie mentioned about 3 or 4 minutes ago, we've got a couple of open phone lines left. Love to hear from you if you kind of relate to or have a fondness for any one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Tell us why, and if you've studied it, or maybe it just speaks to your heart in your prayer time, your Bible scripture reading. 833-288-3986. And we are just about set to go to Elise in Angola, Indiana, but I want to tell you first that EWTN has a wonderful Madonna and Child rosary with a pouch. This unique rosary is made from natural olive wood from the Holy Land. We've been there, Debbie and I, and so many of you have been there. An oval full-color Madonna and Child icon graces the center, and on the reverse side is a Jerusalem cross with a crystal at the center. The solid olive wood beads are linked together by sturdy chain with a nicely detailed silver-toned crucifix, and the coordinating pouch features the Madonna and Child on the front side and Glory Be to the Father prayer on the back. This unique rosary is 4 inches wide, 6 inches high, and has a crucifix attached to the zipper and a gold finger loop. We could go on and on describing it, but you get the idea. 10 styles are available. Visit EWTNRC.com for more selections, and get free standard shipping for online orders, $75 or more in the continental United States. Just use code FREE at checkout, and you will get that.
Sounds great. Okay, we have some open phone lines. Please tell us your favorite gospel writer and message, the scripture that speaks to you the most. of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You could also reference anything else in the Bible if you'd like to, if we want to, you know, broaden this discussion. Whatever you feel prompted by the Spirit to talk about the Scriptures, please do so now. We want to hear from you. We want to extract from you some words of wisdom and lived experiences so we can grow together. But in order to do that, you must call in 833-288-3986. Elise is up first in Angola, Indiana on Annunciation Radio. Elise, you have Annunciation Radio has an anniversary coming up, 12 years. That's exciting. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, I never thought I'd say this, but can you put me to second in line? Because I'm at a drive-through and I just came up to the window.
Sure. Oh, can you get us something? Jerry wants a burger and I'd like fries, please. Okay. Yes, we can do that, Jerry. We'll put you on hold. Matt, if you could do that, and Ace, that would be great. And we'll move to...
Well, by the way, before we do that, yeah. I just have to... Did you use the word extract? You want to extract from people?
Yeah. Is that the right word?
Well, I have a dentist appointment on Monday, so you've given me, you know, almost PTSD here just by mentioning that word, so...
Oh, that is hilarious. That was a good word. I tried to throw one in there. I do it every once in a while just to keep you on your toes.
And, you know, my dentist is a pro at numbing me up. I don't even feel the needle when it goes in. He's good.
That's awesome. My dentist is great, too, I have to say. He's amazing. Good. Yeah, I actually look forward to seeing him. He's so nice. Well, we're both golfers, so we end up talking about golf the whole time. Yeah, it's hilarious. So, and then it kind of gets my mind off of, you know, the appointment. So where are we going next? Would you like to go next, Mr. Usher?
Well, Mike is in Rome, but that's the Rome in New York, listening on Pox at Bonum Radio. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to chime in on St. Luke. I love all the passages in St. Luke because he draws so much attention to Our Lady, and out of the four gospel writers, he's the strongest. I would imagine he actually sat and had conversations with Mary in her later life, and it's just some beautiful passages that crush all the Protestant heresies. You know, the actual fact about Mary being sinless in Luke 1:28, you know, that it's actually written in Koine Greek, Haide Kiketitomene. It's just, if people would delve in and study and research this so much, they would have little problem defending Our Lady and our position in the faith.
Yeah.
Right. Right. May I just say that real quickly? I feel the same way, Mike, and that's why I said about, you know, what gospel writer do you identify with? Because, you know, that's exactly why I always find myself drawn to Luke for the relationship to the Blessed Mother and how you know, the details and the intimacy there of really understanding the Blessed Mother. And I agree with you. If people would really dive deeply into the Gospel of Luke, I think they would actually work their way right into the Catholic Church. What do you think?
Yes, so true. So true. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that, you know, during the Magnificat, her cousin Elizabeth identifies her as the mother of God. You know, whence is it to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? Well, if she's the mother of Elizabeth's Lord, she's the mother of everybody's Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's just by parallel. It's just such a wonderful, there's an absolutely wonderful video I tripped across on YouTube about Mary's sinlessness. And it just explains it so wonderfully. And it's basically how the Protestants, in their own backward way, if they would realize that, are attributing the fact that Mary is sinless.
Yeah.
With a parallel in Ephesians, that there's the word carried to, and it's just amazing.
That's right, Mike. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about the Catholic Church putting together the books in the Bible. That's very well historically documented, of course, if someone wants to dig into the history of that. And you are absolutely right. It's really eye-opening. When you look at Scripture through what they call the rule of faith, when you use the rule of faith to look at the Scriptures, everything we believe as Catholics is fully supported there. Unfortunately, and we love our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, many of them kind of do what you call proof texting. You know, they'll grab a verse here, a verse there, a verse somewhere else. But when you even take those verses in context, you see that it means in many cases something different than what they try to shoehorn it to mean. So anyway, what else, Mike? Anything else?
Well, you know, one more quick comment. I know I heard you mention something before about when Christ was possibly denuded on the cross, you know, that for his shame. But there was a wonderful thing I read in St. Mary of Agreda, or the Venerable Mary of Agreda, in the Divine Mysteries of the Rosary, where it says that there was a little passage in an apparition she had about the angels, that they tried to pull the loincloth off of Christ, but the angels, you know, and through Mary's intercession, the angels would not permit this final degradation of Christ. And I just said, boy, I'll have to run that across and get that to you at some point. In that it's the Divine Mysteries of the Rosary, and it runs across that little bit of passage I heard you mention once, that just something else I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I read the same thing, and Mike, and you know, it's fascinating when you get into some of the private revelations, because you know, as Catholics, you know, we're not required to believe these some of these private revelations, and I understand that. However, when you look at how credible they are, how it makes it kind of completes the story, it makes sense, right? It really fills in the missing details of the whole entire sacrifice and the whole story of Jesus. I agree with you, and I think I'm so grateful to God that he has allowed these wonderful holy men and women of God to share these private revelations with us, because otherwise I think we would be constantly, you know, wondering, worrying, scratching our head, wondering, you know, what are the details? And having the details, I think, helps us. It deepens our faith, and it truly, it makes sense. And as it starts to make sense, we embrace it more. What do you think about that, Mike? Last comments.
Oh, so true. So true. And like you said, you're reading along in these private revelations, like, well, that makes perfect sense. That's mm-hmm. probably how it happened. Whether or not it is, it helps a lot of people's prayer lives. It helps a lot of people's religious lives to say, now it makes a little more sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mike, thank you. Have a wonderful day, and I hope that being a part of the program today has been edifying for you, because it certainly has been for us and for the listeners of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're asking you today, which of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, really speaks to you most profoundly in a special way during your prayer time, during your meditation on Scripture? Maybe you've even done some formal education studying the Gospels. Let us hear from you. 833-288-3986. We'll go to Donnie in San Diego right after we go back to Elise in Angola, Indiana. Elise, I hope you got your drive-through goodies and you're in a place where you can share with us now.
Yes.
Good. Awesome.
I heard your message or your topic today, and I just thought, you know, I love every single one of the Gospels for a different reason, mm-hmm. but I think the one that really sings to me most is the Gospel of John. It's just a slightly different perspective. It's not one of the synoptic gospels, so it's more of a devotional gospel in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. There are certain stories that he just provides details that makes you feel like you were there, like the story where Jesus encounters the woman caught in adultery is one of my favorite ones. And it's so personal. And you can feel, I think with St. John, he's one of my favorites of all time, period, anyway. You can just feel his heart. He seems to have a very open, soft heart. And that's how I feel like I relate to his heart. And so his writings, whether it's in the Gospel of John, whether it's Revelation, and whether it's his epistles, they all have that spirit, and it just sings to me.
Right. Well, Jerry and I both shared, Elise, as you were going through the drive-through, you may or may not have heard us. We both shared that we cling to John as well for many reasons. And something that you said, I just want to tap into, and Jerry, see if you share the same sentiment. Elise, when you're reading the Gospel of John, it is so, and I use the word mystical, but when you talked about the heart, it has such spirit in it. Rather than an account, The other ones seem like an account of things and an observation of things, and that's beautiful. We need that. That's like an investigative, you know, eyewitness report, right? But John has this way of elevating the spirit. There's such a pronounced way of that in John, that when you read John and you really spend time, intentional time in John, you find yourself starting to go there and meditate on areas that you never really thought about, right? So tell me if that happens to you, Elise. I know it happens to me, and I'm curious if it happens to Jerry.
What do you think,
yes,
Elise?
It really does. It does happen to me. It's so beautiful to read. I like to bring a Bible with me on vacations, and John is often what I choose to read through over the course of a little trip or a little getaway. It just feels like it takes you there. It takes you places, and you know, it's almost like reading a novel because it's so vivid.
Exactly. Vivid. Thing. Good word.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What All do you right, think, Elise? Jerry? Yeah. Does that do it for you?
No, absolutely. I think I love the mystical, spiritual approach of John, absolutely. I'm reminded with regard to John, the beloved disciple, a Protestant martyr by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. So when Jesus calls any one of us, he's saying, come, follow me and die. Well, interestingly enough, John was the only apostle that did not die a martyr's death. And so, you know, Jesus, he had this love for Jesus. And we see that in the fact that John never refers to himself by name in his gospel. Mm-hmm. He always says the beloved disciple, which means Elise, you, Debbie, you, Jerry, me, insert name here. And so on the cross, when Jesus says, behold your son, behold your mother, we can insert our name there. Jesus is truly giving Mary to us as the beloved disciples, as our mother on the cross. Right. Beautiful stuff.
Well said. Well said. And we just received a message from one of our Take Two family members. It says, John elevates your spirit. So I think we said that, but that's just to reiterate that. So Elise, great words by you, by Jerry. I don't know. I added a little bit, I think. And we hope you enjoy that, whatever that fast food takeout. Did you get ketchup? Just want to make sure, because Jerry is the king of condiments.
Well, I went to Taco Bell, so I got hot sauce.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Ooh,
excellent.
Now you're one of Jerry's favorite. Okay, you can add Elise to your group. Jerry has like this hot sauce group, Elise. So take care and eat.
Thanks,
well,
Elise.
And now you can start your weekend. Thank you.
Yeah, I have trouble squeezing food into my refrigerator because of all the condiments in there. You know, both doors, you know, are full of, you know, sauces and... You know,
yeah,
like
I do have to confess something. Can I just share something with you about the taco? Because Elise said Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
The Taco Bell, their fire sauce, the hot sauce, I put that on my scrambled eggs.
Do you? Yeah.
I love it.
It must have
sugar in it because it's very addictive.
I actually have some in my pantry that I ordered online. Taco Bell fire hot sauce. I've got several bottles of it in my pantry. Yeah.
They make it in bottles?
Yeah.
I use the little packets.
Yeah, no, they make it in bottles too. So you can satisfy your craving and your need in many different ways. So, all right.
So we have some open phone lines, Jerry, and we are going to hit the pause button in just a minute. We're going to get to Donnie and Bill and the others, but there's room for you. Please weigh in and share with us your favorite gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or all of them, or some of them, or you bounce back and forth, or you haven't even taken the opportunity to really dive deeply and you want to ask some questions. How about you want to stay in the Old Testament? That's fine too. We can have that discussion. But Jerry, we really need the phone lines lit up, because Jerry and I are just adamant about going into the weekend with this great, robust discussion so that we have learned something and we can approach the weekend in a different way.
Yes, indeed. We are going to go back to the phones momentarily. Donnie in San Diego, you'll be up next, and it looks like you have something very impactful to share about the Gospel of John. So stay right there, Donnie. Debbie mentioned Bill in California. Where are you? Take Two Family. It's your show. You drive it. And we look forward to your take on one of the four Gospels, which one you best relate to today. Here's the number, 83—don't be bashful, 833-288-3986. Again, 833-288-3986. Call us. We love it when you tune in to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We love it when you call in 833-288-3986. Talking about the four Gospels today, which one can you best relate to? We're going to go to Donnie. I just want to thank the show team, Ace McKay, our producer, Jeff Burson on social media, and Matt Gabinski on the phones. And thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. It's also on Sirius XM 130. And that's how Donnie is listening and joining us in San Diego. Hi, Donnie. Thanks so much for your patience.
Good morning. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm very passionate about this subject. But my name is Bonnie, like Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie, okay. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I wanted to share the Gospel of John. I keep it in my phone. It's John 15. First, I want to give you a background. I was in Phoenix. My father had passed away a few years ago, and I was in Phoenix for his funeral. And I attended Mass the day before his funeral. And the Gospel was John 15. And the next day, I had a stroke at his funeral. So I was in the ICU for 3 days. And this is what I took with me in there. Mm-hmm. This is, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do as I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever be asked of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And I'm sorry I started to cry, but I get very emotional over that passage.
That's okay. That's okay.
You should. Yeah. You should get emotional. It's very deep within you because you took it with you as you went to the hospital. And I just want to make sure our listeners heard you correctly. So you came to Phoenix from California for your father's funeral. We're so sorry for your loss. And during the funeral, sometime during that time when you were in Phoenix, you suffered a stroke and brought this passage, the scripture passage, with you. And I'm sure you clung on to it. When we attach ourselves, like Jerry said, when we replace ourselves in the scripture verses and we put our name, or it represents us, or it's speaking to us directly, it penetrates deep into the soul, Bonnie. That's why it's the living word of God. That's why it's a healing, living word of God. And so you did exactly that. You took this in, and obviously it helped you get through this. You know, what an overwhelming experience. I mean, coming to your dad's funeral and then suffering a stroke, but you recognize that there's power in the Word of God. Did we have that correct? Did we kind of pick up what you were trying to share?
Yes, that's the gist of it. And while I was in the hospital, I shared that with anyone who was listening to me. I said, Jesus is my friend. And I tell my friends that, see, Jesus is not a scary guy to me. He's a loving God. I don't know why so many people think he's wrathful and scary, but he's my friend.
Right. Well, can Beautiful. I just say something about that real quickly? Because you just said something so important. We always think of God and even God the Father sometimes. We relate it to what a father image is for us, or how we experience authority, right? And we could get fearful. But the idea is that we are to get back into union with God, okay? That means complete together, you know, connected, completely, you know, immersed together, brought together, woven together. Why would we want to be in union with something we're afraid of? So obviously what you have uncovered and what you have discovered, Bonnie, that's what we all should be understanding about God. To get in union with God means we become completely, you know, whole. It is absolutely perfect and beautiful and loving and kind and wonderful. Although it is very holy, right? We have to always remember that. It's not just a get out of jail free card and we're into great love. It is also a very holy experience. So I just wanted to add that you said something so beautiful, and it just hit me very clearly, Jerry, that it's, we're trying to get in union with God. That is the key to learn it now, like Bonnie did.
Yeah, beautifully said. Bonnie, thank you so much. We're glad. I hope you're doing really well health-wise now, and sounds like you're doing great in your relationship with God.
I am. Thank you. And thank you for letting me share that message.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much. Yeah, that passage, or the passages that she talked about in John 15, you know, the greatest commandment, love one another. And, of course, coming from John, it's no surprise because in his letters he talks about, you know, God is love and those who remain in love remain in God. And, I mean, he just almost repeats himself.
Over and over again. It's like OCD.
Yeah, almost to a fault. Yeah, I was trying to think of how I was going to describe that, almost to a fault. But he just really wants to drive home that point. And so, just as Bonnie said, you know, we need to see God as our loving, merciful Father, and not through the lens of relationships that we have had on this earth, which sometimes have been unhealthy and imperfect.
Right.
We need to really ask God, who is just so ready to heal us of any of those things and just reveal his profound love for us.
Mm-hmm. See, I tried to express that understanding and thought, and you did it so much better than I did. I just want to share.
Thank you.
Thank you for cleaning up my mess there, okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Maria in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. Hello, Maria. I think John's going to win today. Take it away.
Hi, this is Maria. I'm calling from Michigan. Yes, and hi, Debbie. And I just wanted to say that as a Catholic, I'm a very passionate Catholic. I love our faith with all my heart, and I just needed to share this. I think that for every Catholic, the Gospel of John should be, you know, their number one favorite because of the discourse of the bread of life. Mm-hmm. I feel that every Catholic should have this gospel, John 6, you know, in their heart. Mm-hmm. Always, you know, every Catholic should and must read this gospel. And in chapter 6, we should almost have it memorized because, you know, this is in regard to the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that I call it the Catholic gospel. You know, that's how I call it in my heart. This is the Catholic gospel. And I feel, you know, the Lord spoke the word that he was bred alive in. And he said, this thing is hard. And when Catholics hear, you know, Catholics who are not, sure that the Eucharist is Jesus. I hear the words of Jesus saying, this thing is hard. Mm-hmm. And then I hear, does this shock you? And as a Catholic who believes that Jesus is God, that Jesus is bread of life, I feel that this word shouldn't shock us as Catholics. And we should just believe it and you know, scream it out there to the world that Jesus is the Eucharist. And that the words that the Lord spoke are spirit and life. They don't mean just that they are words. They are spirit and life. And so to me, Gospel of John is my heartbeat.
You're speaking to my heart, Maria. Jerry, what did I share on the break? What did I share with you right as we were talking off air?
Oh, yeah, you were talking about the bread of life discourse in John chapter 6, yeah.
Yeah, I said, that Maria, I said the same thing. I was just telling Jerry, as whenever I feel down, I read that particular portion of John, and it just reinforces everything for me. I agree with you. Every Catholic should memorize the bread of life discourse, absolutely. And Maria, you're talking about light, love, and life. And the three together, you know, we really need to explore that more. As a matter of fact, we had a wonderful Take Two family member who suggested we do a whole program on light, love, and life. And we have to really understand the aspects, the elements, the facets to understand how we can conduct our lives as Catholic Christians. Maria, you and I are definitely sisters. Thank you so much. What do you think, Jer?
Yeah, I just see it's beautiful, the entire Bread of Life discourse. And that is indeed, Maria, as you said, one of the places in Scripture where Jesus says, this is a hard saying. And of course, and interestingly enough, I think, if I'm correct about this, it's John 6:66. chapter 6, verse 66, is right about the place where his disciples fall away from Jesus because of his teaching on the Eucharist. And it's certainly not the only place where where Jesus says that, because even today, in today's gospel reading, the Pharisees approach Jesus and question him about divorce and so forth. And Jesus says it's because of the hardness of your heart that Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But at the end of that passage in Matthew 19, 3 through 12, Jesus talks about, you know, some remain unmarried for several different reasons. And then there's the last verse, whoever can accept this ought to accept it. So the gospel is not always easy to accept, easy to understand. We need, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the rule of faith. We need the teaching magisterium, the infallible Jesus Christ appointed teaching magisterium of the Catholic Church, to help us color between the lines. Otherwise, if we just take scripture piecemeal here and there, like I said also earlier on the show, we're going to find ourselves believing things that are not Orthodox, Catholic, and just basically Christian. The church was only Catholic for 1,500 years. Anyway, I'm passionate about all of this too today, so I better put a cork in that right there.
No, I think it's a good discussion. No, and we're really following up on our feelings and our thoughts about this. Maria, any final comments?
Well, I just wanted to say, that I love you guys, and also another place where the Eucharist is mentioned is the Road to Emmaus, and it's just so for us to just love the Word of God, love the Bible, read the Bible, because it's not only one book of the Bible, but if as we get more the habit of reading sacred scripture, is conversation with the Lord, is the Lord is teaching us, and also our church helps to decipher the Word of Christ when we are not clear about something. So I just love the church for that reason as well, because church teaches me how to love the Lord even more. And I just, I want every Catholic to just fall in love with sacred scripture, because it's an intimate conversation relationship with our Lord, beloved God. So I love you guys, and I listen to you always. Thank you so much.
We love you too. We love you too. Thank you so much. If you want to keep the conversation going, just email us, take2@ewtn.com.
Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
You too, Maria. Thank you so much. Alfred, hang on. We're going to go to you and then Lisa Marie in New Jersey. I just want to put out an invitation to Tom, who was just on the line a minute ago, and I believe he decided he's going to call Dr. David Anders on Call to Communion, which is a brilliant idea. Any faith question that you might have, Dr. David Anders himself, a convert to the Catholic faith. So Tom, definitely call to Communion. But Tom, when I saw you on the line, you had told Matt, our call screener, that you were born and I guess raised a Catholic, and it was upon, I think you said, reading the Bible in a submarine in the Navy, that you became it changed you to an evangelical Christian, which is praise God for your passion for Scripture and all of that. But you were asking specifically about don't we as Catholics have to go outside of the Bible in support of the teachings about Mary? The answer to that ultimately is no. We do go outside the Bible, but it can be done with using just Scripture alone. And Tom, if you want to do this, this is entirely up to you. I'm not trying to pry into your life or anything, but I would be happy to arrange to have a copy of Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother, sent to you. I know the folks at Catholic Answers. I started their radio show 25 years ago. So if I asked them to send you a book, I think they would do it. And Tim is also a convert. He was an Assemblies of God youth pastor. And it was actually a fellow Marine who challenged him on his anti-Catholic beliefs that got him thinking about that. So anyway, I don't want to belabor this, but Tom, if you're still listening, feel free, if the Holy Spirit prompts you. If not, if I don't hear from you, that's fine. I understand. You'll be in our prayers. But if you want to email take2@ewtn.com and just say you heard me mention this on the air, I will be happy to get a hold of Catholic Answers and have them send you a copy of Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother.
Mm-hmm. And if you go to our resource list, Tom, if you're listening, take2show.com, you'll see Behold Your Mother is on our suggested reading list, because we love that book. Tim Staples did a phenomenal job. So please, if you're listening, Tom, take Jerry up on it. Call us. You can call back. Matt Gabinski will answer the call and take your contact information. Or you can, like Jerry said, email us, take2@ewtn.com. But I agree with you. Behold Your Mother, great, great book and a great understanding of Our Lady. Valerie is saying, John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Also, John had the Bread of Life discourse. So Valerie's in our club as well, agrees with us. Jared says, I really like Matthew, as it has one of my favorite verses. Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Matthew 9:13. Well, Jared, you don't have to convince me on that, on Matthew. I love Matthew. I love the whole Jewish understanding. That was very big for me. And Matthew 19:26 is everywhere in my home. So you don't have to convince me on Matthew. I agree with you. And we've got other social media coming in as well. But if we like to go back to the phones, that would be great too.
As promised, we're going to go to Wilmington, Delaware. Alfred listening to us on Sirius XM 130. Alfred, thanks for waiting. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm enthralled with the Gospel of John. I'm an evangelical Protestant.
Okay.
And I'm enthralled with the way he begins. He doesn't lead up to disclosure about who Jesus is. He shouts it out boldly in the first five verses. I think his description of Jesus as the Word of God and as the light of God, is just the most wonderful wake-up call to the reality of what the world is and who we are and what our relationship is to the world. It's breathtaking. Five verses. And it just takes my breath away every time I read it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But the other thing that,
go ahead, please.
What strikes me, and it's very consistent, is, of course, John 3:16-17. The fact is, God is revealing himself to us through Jesus, not to condemn us, but to offer us his love and acceptance.
Yeah.
And 3:16 and 17 make that so clear.
Mm-hmm. You're very right, Alfred. Wonderful to have you with us, brother in Christ. Thank you so much. And yeah, the beginning of John is indeed different. And the divinity of Jesus is often questioned. And it was obviously questioned by people of the New Testament time, that era. So John basically says, okay, you know, you think Jesus was not divine? Here you go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. End of discussion. You know, according to John anyway, Debbie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. And Alfred, I love how you said it. It's just he jumps right in, like Jerry was saying and you were saying, but it's heart and soul. There's such a there's such an intimacy there rather than a chronological order or an account, which is great. We need that. We need the historical perspective of what happened in Jesus's life and the ministry and the whole sacrifice. We need that. We need the account of everything. But this is so much different. It's a transformational experience if you really dive deeply into the words of the Gospel of John. We agree with you, Alfred. I'm curious because you said you're an evangelical. What do you think of the discussion we're having today on Take Two?
I love it. In fact, I love EWTN. I think the discussions on this station are just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, so are you, Alfred. And we are so glad that you're passionate about Scripture and your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Gospel of John. Thanks, Alfred, for being with us. Have a beautiful and blessed weekend there in Delaware.
Yeah, what a beautiful soul. Okay, we're having a great, great discussion here. This is wonderful. Let me just share, because you mentioned Catholic Answers Live, Monday through Friday night at 6 Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. The best of Catholic Answers Live is Sunday night, 6 Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. Cy Kellett, who's a dear friend of ours, takes your calls and talks with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. EWTN is the exclusive radio home for Catholic Answers Live. Today, why be a woman religious? with Sister Mary Vianney, and Sister Mary will actually explain why you should be a woman, you know, if you're called to that, a woman religious. I love that. And that's on Catholic Answers Live.
Well, it's great that Catholic Radio can have discussions and programs like that, because that's where a lot of vocations come from. We know that from experience. Okay, mm-hmm. We're talking today about which gospel of the four gospels do you relate best to, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? And we're going to go to Lisa Marie, who's in Bradley Beach, New Jersey, listening on Domestic Church Media. Hi, Lisa Marie.
Hello, Jerry and Debbie. Great to talk to you.
Likewise.
Thank you. This is very much pertaining to the topic, but just a little bit off the bullseye. I hope that's okay with you.
Quite fine.
Sure.
Quite fine.
Sure.
Okay. So before the gospel, we sign our head, our lips, and our heart with the three little signs of the cross. And of course, that's regardless of it, if the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And we say, may the holy word of Jesus be forever in my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. And I just love that prayer. I love that moment. And I teach sixth grade CCD. I love sharing that with the students, because many of them have no idea why they're doing that gesture. And I find now I'm happy to share that with adults who have been Catholics for a very long time, because some of them are not aware of why we do that. And you know, they ask me to repeat the little prayer because they don't have it committed to memory. Sometimes the priest himself, you know, terrible to find fault with the priest. My brother is a priest. But sometimes, you know, they're thinking of the next thing and the hand just kind of like swipes downward. So I just wanted to mention that to you and to your listeners, because I just love you all. And It's a beautiful prayer.
It is.
Absolutely. Lisa Marie, you do not have to at all try to convince us. We completely agree. All the gestures in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass have meaning. They allow us to deeply enter into the mystery. I could feel the Holy Spirit as soon as you were talking. And thank you, by the way. Thank your brother for being a priest. Thank your brother for saying yes to the priesthood. But you're so right about this, because... And it's no judgment, but we as Catholics, because we have gone to Mass so many times, we tend to we go into autopilot. It's a robotic, you know, that's why so many of our Christian brothers and sisters make fun of us. Oh, you Catholics, stand up, sit down. We know exactly what to do, okay? Because it's so natural for us, because we've done it so many times. But if we would just stop and meditate on the words and what it means when we hear the gospel message, and exactly what you just said, Lisa, to say the prayer, commit it to memory, understand, to let it penetrate our minds, fall deeply in our hearts, and then come out our lips, come out our mouth into the world. Okay, Lisa Marie, you are awesome. I agree with you. We need to get back to, I wish religious education programs and adult formation programs would spend a lot of time on teaching the elements of the prayers, the gestures, and all the aspects of the Mass, because we're losing it. I think people just seem like they're zoned out. I couldn't agree more. You're going to get me started. I wish we had another hour. Jerry.
You stole all my points, Debbie. I was taking notes feverishly as Lisa Marie was talking. And yeah, it can become very routine and sort of we're not intentional about that gesture. And the Mass is full of things like that. The ringing of the bells. You mentioned the sitting, standing, kneeling. And there's a Latin phrase. It's lex orandi. Lex orandi, comma, lex credendi. Technically, it means that the law of worship is the law of believing. In other words, we worship the way we do because of what we believe. Okay? Mm-hmm. We believe Jesus is Christ is present in the Eucharist, we kneel. We believe Jesus is present during the consecration, we ring the bells.
That's right.
So the way we worship says everything about the way we believe, what mm-hmm. we believe.
Even Lisa Marie, real quickly, even when, Jerry, when you said the church bells, okay, I mean, you said the bells in Mass, but how about the church bells, okay? We used to hear church bells. Do folks know that exorcists have said that during exorcisms, the demons have said, you know, when the church bells are ringing, right? And it tells the demons, get out of the way, Let these people worship God. The demons don't like the church bells, okay? But see, so many churches have given up on that. Even before we enter into the sacred space, it's a beautiful way of clearing the path so we can worship God freely. Lisa, did you know that one? That's a good one to bring into your religious education classroom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, thank you so much. I just think that over time, I've begun to realize that you might not be able, or one might not be able to reach the average person or a new believer with the large topics, the large concepts, but these small gestures and things can touch every heart.
Absolutely. Well put, Lisa Marie. Thank you for wrapping up this wonderful conversation with the Take-Two family. On Monday, it's the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Speaking of things that we can support with Scripture and, of course, tradition, the history, long history of the Catholic Church. So on that feast day of our Blessed Mother, we're going to ask you, how has Mary brought you closer to Jesus? Debbie, that's Monday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to be an exciting show. Please join us on Monday. You guys did a great job today, but keep it going. Dust off your Bibles and get into the living Word of God. Jerry?
On Monday is also the Feast of the Assumption is the EWTN's 41st anniversary. We'll talk about that on Monday as well. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, keep us always in your prayers.